You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions, where you can get your step-by-step, easy-to-follow, simple plug-and-play plan to take you from where you are to where you want to be in 90 days. Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette.
And Jim.
Tonight we're talking about relationship questions. A number of our listeners have written to us asking various questions, along with us having our various experience talking to other individuals and couples in their relationship challenges. And today, we're going to present a few of the questions that have come up to us and give you some advice and or feedback on what we have determined, discussed.
Some kind of answer.
Some answer from the relationship engineers, Lisette Guevara and Jim Golnick. Anyway, on 90 Day Soulmate, the number one question that's on the list, it doesn't mean it's the number one, the best question, it's just the first question, is how to make a decision to separate after 25 years of marriage and with children. So this is a real life situation where a couple have been together for 25 years, they've been married, they have children, and the question of how to make a decision to separate.
It's a difficult situation because it's long time in family, but I guess the first is what you think is the best for each of the member of the family.
So what's best for each of the members? Does that include the children?
Yeah.
So looking at the children and each of the members of the family. But why at 25 years would they consider this? How did that relationship start?
Sometimes the time and the people change, and the feeling change, and then the situation is different. So people feel it's not fixing in this same house with the same people and make a decision separate.
So I think last week we spoke a little bit about I attended my 40-year high school reunion, and one of the takeaways that I had from that reunion was that many of the adults here 40 years later are exactly the same as they were in high school, except they have all the years of experience, they have all the years of things they've learned, if they went on to further education, life experiences, travel. So in essence, there's a piece of them that's the same, but a good portion of them that's different. So they have changed. So there's a core piece that hasn't, but a large portion that has. And two people that may have been very compatible 40 years ago, 25 years ago, may find themselves slowly changing through their lives and not in the same direction.
Yeah, that is remind me the case they talking earlier about a couple they have almost the same year, 25, married, and the man, he's involved in a lot of activity. They married when I have 20 years old, so there's a job, both at the same age, married, have a kid, now he's adult, and then he is involved in a lot of stuff, so he's involved in some kind of practice, office and course, so he has some kind of balance of life. When he make a exercise, he's involved in group of the neighborhood.
Oh, I got it.
He's involved in a lot of different situation, and she is different personality. She's more in home, take care of the child, and not be involved for so many stuff. So 20 years or 25 years later, is two different person, because when you have 20, now you have 40, 45, and then you see that your life maybe is not the same goal or target that we're talking in other show before.
Right, right.
So when your goal is different, it's not the mean that that you change or I change. It's everybody change in some way. How you be prepared to thinking in the future be together.
So something that you brought up there, and you said 25 years ago they meet. And and why are they such a match then? And I'm gonna talk about that a little bit. Is that initially when we meet and we're younger, let's say we're in our late teens, early 20s, maybe even late 20s, and we're really, how do I say it, sexually active. We've got all our chemistry running. We're meeting people for the first time. We have this emotion. We have the passion, and we want to be with people. So we spend time with them to get to know them, to have a chance of having a physical relationship. And potentially you fall in love. And one of the reasons for all this, remember, millions of years of development, evolution, has made our brains want this to happen. So at late teens, early 20s, we're trying to, and we're driven to spend time with others. That is a reason people want to spend time together, to have kids. And then when you have kids, to raise kids. But then that chemistry starts moving away. And if you don't have those common things that you like to do, all of a sudden those changes and differences become apparent.
Yeah.
When we become a parent, our changes become apparent. Wasn't meant to be funny as much as time goes on, the differences in our personality show up more.
Yeah.
So what's a way, I think there's two things. One is there are couples who, looking at what's best for the individual people in the relationship, maybe their children, they decide it is time. That it makes no sense to stay together because they're actually not staying together. They're not staying together. They're not playing together. They're not doing the things that they need to do together. They don't discuss money. They don't discuss vacations. They don't discuss where they want to retire. They don't have those plans going forward, and they don't see themselves as a couple in the future.
Yeah. So if you don't see that, it's better that separate, because is live some kind of the sad life, because the society is sometimes pointing you have to be married forever, or you have to stay with your kid forever, and sometimes it's not the best way.
It may not be the best way to stay forever together, but the tough thing is the breakup puts you in a position of now, is there, do you want to become involved in another relationship or not? And how complex is that? I mean, now you have people who have had a relationship that's broken, another relationship that's broken, and they get together with broken relationships, and it's complex, fragmented people trying to form new relationships. One of the reasons, and I want to bring this up, our show's called 90 Day Soulmate, is because of the book 90 Day Soulmate. A lot of those fragments are put together in the exercises of this book, talking about the things you like to do, the habits you like, your background, what your religious and political and different beliefs are, your educational background. Those are the things, those are the common things that as we age still remain part of us, that keep us together and connected with the people we're with. The reason we wrote that book was to help people, before they start a relationship, put the pieces that fit together to help hold that relationship together as it moves from that passion to that commitment stage, that if we want to call it forever commitment, that we enjoy being together and doing things together so much that we don't, thank you, that we don't question, you know, we just think, okay, what are we doing next?
Yeah.
So, but what's interesting about that whole thing is that we talked about people who've been together 25 years. There is another question that came in. I'm going to go. Oh, it's on my paper here. Another question that came in which is very similar in a way. Here's this one, which is, this is a long-term relationship. A woman writes that, I'm in a long-term relationship, and we're talking about 5 years, not 25 years. Not married, but long-term relationship. My partner doesn't seem to be making time for me anymore. Well, what does that mean, not making time for me anymore? One is, do they actually understand that? Like, why wouldn't somebody only 5 years into a relationship feel like their partner's not making time for them anymore? What's changed? So I heard that and I go, well, that the person may, and I don't take it the wrong way, they may sound needy, like, oh, I need to spend time with my partner. And part of this is maybe, again, addressing what are those things that are in common that rather than spending time with you, how about spending time doing things with you that you both enjoy? There was another one I heard of a friend who was working from home for 2 years through COVID, and they spent a lot of time with their wife. And they spent loads and loads of time with their wife. And so the wife, who really enjoyed that time together, that a lot of time together, was upset when he had to go back to the office because he was told by his company to go back to the office. And she felt there was something now missing in the relationship because he was spending so much time out of the house. So COVID has done some weird things into relationships too. The question is, why do you feel... do you feel neglected if the person is not spending time with you, and the reasons why? What's the reason why? Are you not confident? Do you feel unconfident? Have you lost confidence in yourself? Have you lost confidence in your own strengths? Is it actually, it can actually be real that you actually feel something is missing because something's changed. So I don't want to mix up the two things. There's the reality of something's changed and they don't want to spend more time with you versus you just perceive that they don't want to spend more time with you. And there's a potential self-confidence thing going on now that you feel more need for having the time together that you weren't missing before because you were forced in having to spend time together. Common goals.
It's almost the sand that we talk. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you? I don't feel like he is spending as much time as me with me as he used to. Well, do you have common goals? If his goals are over here and your goals are over here, then it's almost obvious that he's going to spend time on his goals while you're spending time on your goals. And the not spending time together, is it not spending time together doing the things you want to do? Because maybe he would spend lots of time with you doing the things he wants to do. So maybe it's a good to understand, hey, from your partner, what is it that you like to do and want to do? And be clear in that communication and that expectation as to what are the things you like. Maybe those are the things we miss. Let's go back to COVID. You have to stay together. COVID's over. Now you need to want to stay together. But part of that is, what are the things you like to do that if you were involved in, or if they were involved in, you would both be doing not only something you like to do, but with a person that you would like to do them with?
And also the level of negotiation, because sometimes you need to know something I like to do, you don't like, or something you like to do, I don't like. So what is the time for each other has something to do and something that I can stay with him based upon that I don't like, and you can stay with me based upon you don't like.
Okay.
So it's balanced.
What are you trying to say?
I live in...
So I forced Lizette to come down and do the show with me in our studio, and she's like, yep, you do, but
I have to do
but we do stuff. Okay, here's another one, and we want to continue on with what point here. Well, there's so many points to talk about, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to end with that point, this segment, and we're going to come back with more interesting questions from our listening audience after this. Thank you.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jen.
So we're talking about questions coming from our listening audience. And here's another one that we were just discussing before the show. I think my partner is cheating on me. What should I do?
And also maybe you have evidence about that?
There are things that I see that I think.
Or you know, your feeling.
Oh, well, you know, they well, actually, when tell the example. The example your,
okay,
your friend
maybe
said.
Okay, maybe so somebody is in constantly the phone in the middle of the night or leaving the house to try to talk by the phone. Mm. So this kind of behavior of maybe to lay a house and then people feeling some kind of disconnection and start to create, hey, he's cheating me or she's okay. cheating me, yeah.
So let's go to the exact example. Mm-hmm. Man texts on his phone, doesn't show his, is it wife in this case? Is this mm-hmm. the case of wife? He doesn't show the wife the phone, looks like he's hiding phone calls. It appears that way, and that's what she has said to Lizette. Mm-hmm. And Lizette asked the question, do you have evidence of this, like evidence of the cheating, evidence beyond the hiding of stuff or what appears to be the hiding? Do you have objective evidence, anything? And what does he say back to her when he asks?
She don't want to confirm because he say that she is so jealous person and it's in her mind that she creates some kind of fake history or ghost, cheesy ghost, and this is the way that he responds yeah. to her behavior.
So we have two sides of the story here. And when I mean mm-hmm. two sides of the story, we don't have the other side of the story. But there is such a thing as a toxic relationship. So say the guy really is cheating. Mm-hmm. One of the responses of a cheater is something called gaslighting. Gaslighting being, oh, you're crazy. They actually tell you you're crazy. You're imagining things. This isn't that. It's this instead. That they... Yeah. They make up a complete story to make you think you're the crazy person, that you are imagining things. Mm-hmm. Whereas it's absolutely true, but that is a response of a cheater in a toxic relationship.
Yeah.
So how do you know when it's the response of a cheater versus a real response? How do you know? Hmm. Tough to know. Wouldn't a great answer be, listen, honey, you know, absolutely, no, nothing's going on. Here's my phone. Here are the messages. Here's who I'm talking to. This is what's going on. And then you'd have objective evidence that he's not, and he's being open and transparent.
You'll do the challenge to switch your phone for 24 hours, see what happens.
We did this a few years back where we challenged our audience to switch phones with their partner and just saying, here, use my phone, take
so
a look,
see what's on. We have two-day training, and the night everybody switch, and the other day when we have the training, see what happened.
And only half of them came back. No,
it was, we don't know what happened. But, I don't know that people know go back to the training.
So I think that's one of the difficult things in today's society, or almost any society at any time, is can you live with complete transparency with your partner? I think many people want that. They want to have the ability to say, I want to share everything with my partner. I think they want that. Mm-hmm. But I think they're also scared. Like each person is scared to reveal themselves to the other person fully. Maybe it's not you. Maybe you do want to reveal yourself and you're not scared. But there are some people who don't want. They're afraid of how their partner may take them. And we've talked about this in past relationships.
Yeah, and also we some people say, no, this everybody has some kind of own privacy. But I say, how you have privacy with you sleeping and live with somebody? So the privacy, the phone is no make sense for.
Well, we put up that piece of wood between us in bed every night, you know, for privacy. Privacy. Yeah. No, I mean, that's the point. Is you're sleeping with somebody, you're in bed, perhaps even naked sometimes.
Yeah.
And then you want to hide what's going on your computer or on your phone from your partner?
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense unless, like, you're planning that someday in the future you're going to split and you don't want them to know everything that was going on.
For example, I share with you all my invoices.
I see all the credit card receipts.
Exactly. So what
all the invoices.
That.
That's so nice. Nice. So, but I want to go back to the gaslighting piece. Mm-hmm. Is that we talk about toxic relationships, and we'll get back to some of the questions. But we found this little thing on toxic relationships and some of the behaviors in a toxic relationship of your partner, or maybe it's the person that should have been your partner but is not acting anything like a partner. You know if you're in a toxic relationship if your partner has emotional unavailability, that they're just not connecting with you emotionally. And perhaps part of that is the transparent communication, is being to be emotional about how they feel about you, what's going on in their life. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that if that's not happening in a relationship, that can be a sign of a problem in a relationship. This one I found interesting in this article. It said habitual cheating. Habitual, meaning it's a habit. Something regular. And the preceding example is addiction to something, addiction to alcohol, gambling. Maybe it's addiction to cheating. You know, mm-hmm. the same thing is that some people are willing to accept a mistake. And I think part of that also has to do when it happens, how far into the relationship it happens. If it's you're just starting to date. For some of us, it's very difficult to accept at all cheating in a relationship. But habitual cheating in a relationship, at some point, it's not like, I'm sorry again. Oh, I'm sorry again. I slipped. It's like, I accidentally got her pregnant. I fell and she was pregnant. I don't know what happened.
Something happens.
It just happens.
Technology, you know.
I tripped down the stairs, and there you go. So, some other things. Compulsive lying.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what the question is, they tend to lie about the answer. Yeah. Even the simplest things.
And this is a lot of people.
Yes, we were talking about some of that. And that's in business, and that's in personal relationships. That's people you don't know.
Our two past show is about lie. Do you remember?
No, it wasn't about that.
This is forget, different than lie. You don't remember. This is other for the age. Yeah.
So the other is when the person you're with tries to prevent you from having other friends, spending time with family, spending time with coworkers, that they are isolating you, keeping you away from having a support network, having people you can trust and communicate with. That is a sign that if you're not allowed to have friends, that's a sign that something wrong is going on. And if that happens early in the relationship, like I remember years ago, I met a woman. And very early on in the relationship, she said, oh, we're going to do everything together. Like, we go to the restaurant together, we go to friends together, if we go to the gym, we go to the gym together. It's like all of a sudden it was, everything you do is with me and with no one else. And I thought that was really, really odd, that relationship.
Really? Lasted. I believe it's okay.
Oh, that was you. Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
Again.
I forgot.
Yeah, again.
Okay, I got to go to my room.
Maybe we cut this part and remove in the show. Do it again.
How about somebody who's not willing to take responsibility for something they did? And this all ties together. When somebody lies about lots of stuff, cheats about lots of stuff, makes you think that you're the crazy person and gaslights you, that they're also unwilling to take responsibility for something. So, hey, Lizette, you know, I went to use the car and there was no gas in it. You said you were going to put gas in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait a minute. I did put gas in the car. Somebody must have come. You know, there's been a lot of people going around stealing gas out of cars. And then it's the lie. And you're like, it's such a crazy lie. But, you know, and the person is emphatically stating the lie, And they're making you out to be the bad person if you don't believe it. That's where those toxic relationships go.
I remember one interesting call.
Mm.
Yes, I have a supposed boyfriend, and he...
Was that recently?
Yeah, almost 35 years ago.
Okay, okay.
It's okay?
Yeah.
So he supposed stay in his home and in my home, and he called me like the 10 p.m., and I hear the noise. When I see the phone that he called me, I say, this is not his house. And he's saying, yes, I am in my house. He says, the technology is wrong. I said, okay, he's in one bar. I take the number. Gosh. I check in internet. He's in the bar. And I say, it's when the people lie and I want to support the lie that, yes, I am in my home, and the music is in.
Oh, wow. So this was before cell phones, but it was at the time where you have the...
No, it's a phone home, the other house.
So it's
don't
a phone.
Recognize the numbers that you
and
call.
I forgot what that was called, but it would show the numbers on the screen. Right, it would show the numbers on the screen of the person who was calling you, kind of like cell phones do today.
Yeah.
This was real advanced technology for the 1930s.
Yeah, so again, people try to keep going lie, and one situation is discovered, you say, hey, the phone, this is wrong, the system is broken.
So when somebody in a relationship acts like a child, and you are acting like the parent, and you're like, oh, come on, and then you're like, oh, but I love them so much.
It's like, yeah, so you know, I start
be careful.
To not coming back.
So I think we'll leave it that. There's other ones in there for toxic relationships. Of course, there's the one about abuse, whether it's mental, physical, psychological. I guess that's mental abuse, emotional abuse. That's another. You know that if there's something going on, even if it happens one time, once something happens once, if you talk to an insurance actuary, somebody who does statistics for an insurance company, when something happens once, there's a huge, higher, greater possibility of it happening again than if it's never happened. And that's true with insurance statistics. It's true with behavioral statistics. People make a living from that. Oh, I like this one. So a friend of mine said he's talked to his wife about changing some of her behavior. She likes to hang out with her friends. She hangs out with her friends a few nights a week. They go out for a few glasses of wine after work. And he's now asked her, could you please stop doing that? Because he's at home with the kids by himself. And he feels it's unfair. So he's asking her to change her behavior. And she's refusing to do it. So, what should he do? That's his question. What should he do? She refuses to change her behavior.
He or she?
She.
Okay.
So, the husband's wife, she goes out with her friends after work, has a few glasses of wine, and they have the kids at home, and he wants her to not do that anymore. Stay at home and change your behavior.
When they met, that she do for many, many years.
Sure.
Why he want to change now?
Because he wants to go out with his friends and drink. No,
okay.
That's a joke.
So maybe today one, today other. So
it could be
negotiation again.
So our take on it is exactly what Lizette said, is when you met her, she did this behavior. Why is it all of a sudden something you want to change? And we talked about people individually change, and they may change different ways at different times in different relationships, and those changes may not be in the same direction. So maybe he thought that was fine behavior when they met, and now he thinks it's different.
Mm.
So a couple of things. One is discuss the behavior and how that makes you feel. How do I feel because of it? Why do you feel the change is necessary?
Mm-hmm.
The other is it to a point where this not changing is so terrible that it's going to drive the relationship apart. That if this doesn't... You were talking about negotiating, right?
Yeah, and also sometimes this is not the topic. It's something else, but you're looking for some kind of way, and also it's unconscious. So now I every time you put the pen here, I like to the pen is in the other desk. And then today, for me, I make us so angry because the pen is here, but maybe the problem is not the pen, it's also different.
So what if she went out to have some wine with her friends a few days a week after work because it's the only way she can stand to stay in the relationship? You know, she wants to have the time away to miss him. Mm-hmm. I want to spend time with my friends, and then I can come back and realize how crazy my friends are, and now I want to be with my husband.
Does it work for you?
Sometimes, you know, when Lizette travels or when I travel and then we come back together, there's you kind of are relieved to be back with each other because you see what the world is like outside your relationship, and you're like, oh my gosh, I like my relationship. And if you don't have that outside perspective, you may not be able to have an objective inside perspective.
Not necessarily. You need to test other person. It's just
observe
other couples, other person. Yeah.
Which is actually, we talked a few weeks ago about good relationships and what are some of the things about good relationships is, and Lizette said about testing other people, observing other people, speaking derogatorily, negatively about other options, and seeing how bad those options are helps you focus on the good option, the person you're with. So it's actually talking badly about options that are not in the relationship and talking very good about being in the relationship, that even if it's not reality, but you believe it to be reality, it's better to make a false sense of great reality in your relationship and a bad sense of alternative reality outside your relationship. That studies have shown that that type of view, any other relationship would be bad, my relationship's great, is actually good for a relationship.
I like that.
I love this relationship.
Mm, me too.
So, going back to the change, why do you want them to change was the question again. Why do you want them to change? Was it because you can't stand being home by yourself? You miss her so much? Is it because now you're dealing with the kids by yourself two or three nights a week and it's too much and she does it even more than that and you're not actually realizing how much she does?
Yeah.
So there's a lot to do, and the expectation of, you know, when you got into the relationship, the expectation of what that relationship would be like long term might not have been discussed. What else do you have there?
We have to break.
We have to break. But when we come back from the break, we'll talk about a couple more questions on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Right after this.
Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Tonight we're talking about questions from our listening audience, and as you probably heard, some of our friends, as well as people we know. I have two options. I have two partners, and I don't know which one to go with. And I know there are many people who have had this, because we've discussed somebody who's in a relationship and they're also cheating. Well, which one should I be with? Mm-hmm. We've known people who are single. I say single. They're not married, but they've been dating somebody who's been married for the last 5 years, and they are waiting and waiting and waiting for them to finally break up their marriage to be with them, but they've never done it. But here's a situation where somebody has two options, and they don't know which one to go with. You know how they decide?
No, how?
Get a third option.
Okay.
Start dating someone else and let that person objectively decide which of the other two people you should be with.
Wow, it's amazing.
Blow my mind. Yeah. So some of our answers are a little bit, what is it called? Sarcastic.
No.
You need 3, 4, 5 relationships in order to determine which one is best. My oh my. So how should someone determine which relationship they should be in?
That is remind me, some person, they have the same situation, and he believed the old people know, have more knowledge, and he went to one old guy and asked, and the recommendation is thinking which one is more sweet, you feel that you can be all with her, and he picked up this person.
Oh, he did pick that person.
Yeah, he did.
That's interesting. I thought it was going to be like some of the other advice we've heard, okay, where you'll give someone advice.
I have some other examples.
I want to hear this other story. This is a great story.
So, which one? The story.
I like to go to the story about the person who's asked you at least two different times about specific advice.
Yeah. So, and also we see a long term because it's almost 10 years ago. She called me and put me the situation. Hey, I wanted your recommendation. I have two options to make a decision, and I wanted you help me. So, and I explained option A have this positive and negative, option B positive and negative, and I say for the balance of the option, option A is the better for you if you want to hear my recommendation. So she disappeared, and few months called me and say, I picked option B because it's something they feeling more connected.
Okay.
Not feel connection with option A, and I say go ahead. So 1 or 2 years later she called me, I was wrong, you were right, option A was the best. So and this has happened now again. So she called me for other stuff, and again she tells me, oh my god, why I keep going take an option for how I feeling versus your recommendation, and also why she has recommendations. So, she know already what did she want.
I'm going to change. Uh-huh. I'm going to change the perspective. I'm going to change the way this is being looked at.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that there are some people, no matter what option they take, it will turn out to be the wrong option because of how they live on a daily basis with the choices they make. They're always looking for something not to be right in the choice they make. So if they chose option A or option B, whichever would have been the wrong option. If they had followed your advice, something would have gone wrong, and then they would have said, I should have taken option B. So that's one way we haven't looked at this yet.
Yeah.
But sometimes, is option A or option B better? You know what? Either option is the best. But take a choice, make a choice, and make that option your best choice by cutting out all other options.
Yeah, no, so I have always the advice that people stay in the middle and not take a decision. Mm-hmm. And this is more wrong. I put the metaphor. If you are in the highway driving and you have one exit and the right and the left, and you don't know, and you do back and forth, what happened with the people?
You end up in that barrel in the middle.
Yes, also a lot of car maybe scratching with you.
Yeah.
So see, you and your life are like that, don't know where it's going, and moving the back and forth to one decision and not take it, make a collateral damage?
Collateral damage.
Yes. So the first, like that you say, take the decision. And the second, when you make this decision, make the work, okay? Because it's something that is... No, you have to work in the decision that you make.
So there's something in the sales. Like I did a lot of studying of marketing and sales when I was younger, even now. But there is something called buyer's remorse that in a buying process, which could be stressful because you have multiple people giving you proposals, you have them giving you features and benefits, they're giving you return on investment, they're giving you all this information, and you take all that information and you create charts of pluses and minuses, you do a Ben Franklin close, you do all these different things to come up with a decision, and you finally make a decision and you give your money to a company, and the first thing that happens is, oh, did I make the right decision? So many people have that buyer's remorse, and it is a known thing people talk about all the time. You make a decision, and then you immediately think, oh boy, I made the wrong decision because of the other options. Again, it's instead of focusing on what you picked and for all the reasons you picked it, in a logical fashion. People do things in an emotional fashion. And then once the emotion of the situation goes away, they're left with the logic, and they start thinking about the logic, and they think, oh, did I make the right decision? Whereas if you have decided and convinced yourself completely, emotionally and logically, that this is the right decision, then you need to stop looking at the alternatives you could have had and look at the reality you do have. The one relationship, how good it can be, how fun it can be, how exciting it can be with somebody, to do stuff, to enjoy travel, to look at what's next, to set goals. Not, oh, well, if I picked her, if I picked him, if I took that dog instead of that dog. I mean, there's all these choices we make, and to be sincerely satisfied and focused on the one we made, rather than wonder about all the possibilities that didn't happen yet.
Yeah.
Buyer's remorse sets in when we make decisions unless we focus on the reasons that the decision we made is the best. And going back to what we talked about in the relationship, sometimes that is making your relationship much better in your own mind than in reality, but believing it. And also looking at all those other alternatives and going, oh, those are so crazy because look at this and look at that. That you, when you think negatively of the alternatives and positively of your choice, the relationship will strengthen. And if you do the opposite, think positively of all the alternatives and negatively of the decision you made, your relationship will deteriorate. Yeah. It's really that simple. It's a matter of your mindset and your belief, your emotion, and your commitment.
That's right.
That's right. So what else have we got here? Oh, do you want to go into this? We've got two different things here.
Okay.
We have the jealousy one, or we have the getting back together with your ex one.
Okay, I like that.
So
what happened?
We get this asked all the time. You know, it's been 3-4 months. I broke up with, let's just say, my friend Jay broke up with a girl,
Mary.
Jay broke up with Mary, and it was a long-term relationship. They had been going out for 3 or 4 years, and broke up because it had gone bad. They argued a lot. She started flirting with guys, and he couldn't take it anymore. And they broke up, and they were arguing. And then things kind of settled down. He went out on a date here, went out on a date there. But there's always the baggage of that relationship because there was so much passion and so much emotion. Well, 3 months later, he gets a text from her that just says, hey, what's up? And now he comes with this text and goes, Jim, look, she's texting me. She's texting me. Should I text her back? It's like, you know where the relationship was. You know where it went, where it was going. What are you thinking? And then now he starts projecting. Well, maybe she wants to get back together with me. Maybe she just wants to find her toaster. I mean, who knows? There could be all these things, and people project these things. But let's pretend she does want to get back together with him. Mm-hmm. You spent 3 to 4 years with her. You built this relationship that got destroyed. 3 to 4 months later, you start remembering, and this is something humans do. Humans tend to remember positive things about relationships. Sometimes they remember really bad things about, but people tend to see the bright side of things, especially when they're emotionally lonely. I'm lonely, I start thinking about all the good things of that relationship rather than the bad. And I have no other alternatives right now, so maybe I'll go see if we should get back together again. So the question is, should they? Should they get back together?
Depend.
So here's some questions. Why did you break up? Was it that she cheated on you 4 times? Was it she forgot to lock the front door? I mean, there's differences here. She forgot to lock the front door. She cheated on you 4 times. You got angry with her because she forgot to lock the front door. You got angry with her because she cheated with you four times, or not with you, but on you four times. What's the reason for the breakup? Was it something that was really more insignificant that you guys blew out of proportion because you were so emotional? So emotionally...
Lock the door is more important.
Lock the door, sure. Because safe, all the stuff, my toaster got stolen.
Safety is first.
Safety is first. the second note is, are you idealizing your partner? And we just talked about that. Sometimes we see past relationships much better than they actually were. We can have a romanticized vision or version of the relationship where maybe remembering the passion that was early on in the relationship rather than the anger and arguments that were later on in the relationship. So another question is, so the person wants to get back to you, back with you. Have they changed? What makes them a better potential partner than they were when you guys were dating and you then ended up breaking up? What's changed?
Maybe they read our book.
This book, 90 Day Soulmate, and they changed.
Yeah.
Maybe they learned new forms of communication.
Yeah.
Well, not new, better forms of communication. Maybe they learned Spanish.
Who knows?
So another one is, if trust was broken, is there any possibility of rebuilding it? Her trust of you, your trust of her? Can it be rebuilt? If it was your partner's fault that they broke up, are they truly apologetic? Do they take responsibility for what they did? Are they completely transparent with you as to what happened and why it happened? And speaking of that, do you accept your culpability, your shared, what is that called? Your shared, not responsibility, but the amount of, do you take your share of responsibility for the problems in the relationship? So yes, this may have happened. Maybe she did go and cheat on you. What happened in the relationship that allow the relationship to get to that point where she cheated on you? Were you spending time hanging out at work with female coworkers? Who knows? Was there other stuff going on? Not trying to downplay any of the seriousness of cheating or things that go on in a relationship, but are you also responsible for what happened in the relationship? And are you able to now communicate that? How long would it take to rebuild trust? Are you willing to take it slowly? Or do you immediately want to get back into that passionate part of the relationship? And I guess that was it. Recognizing your own role and having them recognize their role in the responsibility for what happened. So should you get back? It's a good question. Sometimes people do it because they're lonely. Sometimes they do it because they don't have another alternative right now.
Yeah.
So maybe you should have two or three alternatives and then let the third person choose for you. No, it's a joke. So.
Most of the statistics say that the people don't want to be alone. So prefer to stay in some relationship or go back to this because it's something that you know versus the challenge to be in the new one that you don't know. So. Say, okay, it's better bad that you know versus...
Yeah, the bad you know is better than the good you don't know.
Exactly.
So one thing that I would say, we would suggest, is before you consider this relationship, consider your own life. Are you one? Physically, are you doing the things physically that you want to be doing? Are you working out? Are you eating healthy? How are you in that realm? Your own well-being. Are you taking care of yourself mentally, socially? Are you involved with other people? Are you doing things that keep you involved with others? Is your life fulfilling to you? Are you doing hobbies? Is work going well for you? Look at filling your life, making you as strong as possible. So instead of feeling like what's missing is this person, rather than what's missing this person, make it, with everything going so well in my life, you know what? I want the addition of this person because these are the things that and how they fit with me.
With me.
With me. With me. Mm-hmm. Not they fit with me. Not I miss them and I am only fulfilled by having this person in my life. So part of the psychological or therapy that you see that therapists say is build your own self-esteem, build your own self-confidence, build your own sense of strength, and it will be easier to make those decisions. I mean, how have they changed? How have you changed to make the potential for that relationship to be better the second time around? Mm-hmm. Has enough time transpired? Has there been enough time out of any relationship to reduce the amount of emotional decision-making and to build a little bit in the logic, trust, communication?
And also, you remind me the question, the question that people sent to us.
Yeah.
It's about the when somebody feel they bring more, they receive in the relationship. So this really challenge, because first, if you feel that you do more stuff for keeping the relationship, you don't receive.
Yeah,
it's maybe can be true, but how you open the communication to say how much, because it's something difficult to measure, but how much the other person has to bring is why you feel different.
So we'll leave it at this, is that before any relationship, getting back together or starting a relationship or in the relationship you're in, open up communication, clear communication, transparent communication, share goals and objectives and what you want in your life together. Those are the two things that bring everything else together. Having your goals and your objectives being similar to the other person's and transparently communicating them, your inner feelings, your emotions, and your logic with your partner.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.